I am Douglas Little, founder, perfumer, and creative director for Heretic Perfume. You are listening to the I Am Heretic podcast. These podcasts are an exploration of the senses with a focus on fragrance, how it's made, the effects it has, and the incredible people it has led me to meet. About a year ago, I was looking for seed investment for Heretic Perfume and was introduced to the incredible Barbara Paldies. Barb, as she is affectionately known, is one of those individuals that when you look into her eyes, you know that she's 3,000 steps ahead of you. One of the most brilliant, kind, and generous humans I've had the chance to meet, and I'm so excited to have you on this podcast.
Thank you so much, Douglas. The pleasure is all mine.
I first wanted to talk a little bit about you and for you to explain your unbelievable background so that we can start to dig into the meat of the podcast. So can you tell us about your background and who you are?
I'm actually an engineer, so I have absolutely no business being in beauty or investing in beauty. I started several companies, one of which was called Picaro. Well, it still is called Picaro, and makes analytical equipment for measuring carbon dioxide isotopes and is really very much involved now with proving that global warming is in fact happening. Second company was Finesse Solutions, where my biggest claim to fame was we made the equipment in which the first Ebola vaccine was manufactured. And in fact, 500,000 doses were shipped to Congo a couple of weeks ago by Janssen Pharmaceuticals. So that was absolutely amazing.
That is amazing.
And we also made the first equipment to manufacture gene vector therapy for Duchenne disease, which is basically a form of multiple sclerosis. And it was great because we enabled the first clinical trial. And out of those 60 kids, 30 are alive today. So wonderful stuff.
Barbara, this is unbelievable. How in the fuck did you find yourself in beauty? Like from these very life-changing things that you've done that have improved the world, how have you found yourself now involved in beauty?
Well, it happens that I ended up having a son who was allergic to phenoxyethanol.
Can you explain what that is?
It is a commonly used preservative in natural beauty, and it's basically a second-generation neurotoxin. And I found this out the hard way, that when I brought the baby home and put the normal butt cream from Johnson & Johnson that you use on it, he completely blistered. So imagine having a newborn child that you think you're just taking care of, that pretty much their skin boils and they get massive blisters.
Oh my God.
So I called my mom and she was like, well, wash him and put coconut cream on his butt. And when I did that, he got better. And so I spent the next 7 years, roughly, when I was traveling around the world for my biotech equipment company, looking for any kind of salve or cream that I could put on him, and pretty much using him as a bunny rabbit patch test. And then when I did find something that worked, then I'd be calling those customers going, oh, we've got to have another quarterly review meeting. You really need to have a quarterly review meeting so that I could go to the local pharmacy and bring back half a suitcase full of that particular salve or balm.
Wow, that's amazing. And so really your involvement with the beauty industry stemmed from a real cause and action.
An allergy. Yeah, a very severe allergy. And then starting to read about, you know, and then I didn't know what the chemical was. And so I started comparing the products that he had problems with and the products that he didn't have problems with. And one chemical stood out, and that was phenoxyethanol.
I think anyone that has children, especially young children, they're really hyper-conscious of these allergens that are, you know, popping up and these chemicals that are involved in very basic products that for years, like my parents, you know, I remember Johnson & Johnson's baby shampoo was always part of, you know, being a kid.
I grew up with that.
Of course. Yeah. I think that we all did. And now there's all this research that's coming out about, you know, that very basic product that's considered to be the safest, you know, most hypoallergenic product contains all sorts of terribly dangerous chemicals, including the famous embalming fluid.
Yes, exactly.
Which is a terrifying thought. So your involvement in the beauty industry is kind of twofold. And first and foremost, I'd love to have you talk about your new product line, which is so amazing. And it's called Codex. But I'd love for you to kind of really give the background. I think that you've explained, you know, the kind of cause and action of how you found yourself now looking at beauty. But explain where Codex comes from and what it's about.
So Codex Beauty was founded about 18 months ago, and in June of this year, so about a year and 15 months after we founded the company, we launched our first collection, which was a basic collection called Bia. Bia is Gaelic for food. And so the purpose of the collection is to cleanse, nourish, aka food, and hydrate the skin. and it is based on traditional Irish herbal medicine and the plants known for over 1,300 years that have been passed on generationally as cures within the Irish community, and where we basically gathered a collection of scientists from ethnobotany to plant science to cosmetic formulation, who actually created the first plant-based edible preservative system that we use in all of our products. And that basically were formulated by master formulator Tracy Ryan, who had created the Bia Beauty product line back in 2013 that I discovered in Cork when I was working with Janssen, which was that Ebola vaccine company. And so everything was connected in this very interesting way, if you actually trace it back. And we upgraded all of the formulations, allowing Tracy with investment to really delve into the Irish herbal medical world, and to really bring to the forefront some amazing ingredients such as bog myrtle, for example, which is in our facial oil, which has not just anti-midge properties, but also cellular regenerative properties and anti-cancer properties. And all of this can be documented and analyzed with scientific tools. And so Codex is really the intersection of ancient herbal traditions with modern science. Things like, you know, analytics, liquid chromatography, mass spectrometry, really identifying what those bioactive compounds are. And in many ways, Codex, which is actually means a bound book, because we want to bring transparency and transformation to the cosmetic industry by acting pretty much like a pharmaceutical company with good manufacturing practices, quality, EcoCert, and EWG certifications, which many companies don't have and are very complementary. One is for toxics, one is for manufacturing processes and sustainability. And the mission of Codex really is to transform through functional product lines from all around the world to create a global collection of ultra clean next generation beauty.
So this is one of those moments where, you know, as a founder of a company and being deeply, deeply in love with clean beauty and with natural products, I feel like such a fucking idiot right now. Sitting in front of you and talking to you, I realize I'm like, I should really just pack it up and go home.
No, but Douglas, I didn't know anything about this 18 months ago. And to me, it's still a learning experience. I mean, I came from being at the top of my industry in biotech. We were one of, you know, we did automation for all the major projects. And, you know, I knew what I was talking about. And now I'm every day humbled by new terminology, everything from, you know, the dermatologist telling me I don't know anything about clinical trials to our cosmetic chemist saying, and really, why do you want me to use that ingredient? Like, really, are you that stupid? So I'm learning, and we all are learning. And that's actually what drew me to investing in Heretic, because A, you don't use phenoxyethanol,
right?
But B, there's just an amazing craftsmanship and experience that you bring to the brand to transform, again, plant essences into something that is absolutely magnificently beautiful.
No, thank you very much. I think, you know, more than anything, it's just the incredible wealth of knowledge that you have. And it's really your unbelievably beautiful brain and the way that your brain is processing information.
I'm a geek. Yeah.
It's, well, I mean, whatever you want to call it, it's incredible, because I think that the beauty industry is filled with a lot of people with a lot of passion, but I don't think that there's really the foundation or the substance that's truly there to validate the claims or to be able to really substantiate what the passion wants to be able to produce. And that's what you're bringing to the table.
But that's, I think, still a learning experience also for the consumer, because one of the things I've been realizing over the last, since we launched in June, is that people simply take the claims on the product box for granted. And there is no substantiative evidence. People don't do real clinical trials. So one of the things we're now trying to bring is really an education of, for example, if you're looking at hydration and it's measured with a corneometer, most people would have no idea what a corneometer is or how it works, let alone what kind of measurement it does. And so we're trying to bring quantification to really have people get the data so that they can make informed decisions. And that's something that is just unbelievably lacking today from the skincare industry. And people read a product and go, oh, it must do this because that's what the box states. And
right,
that's in fact not true. And so it'll be a long process. So we'll have to have a lot of patience while people figure it out.
And again, just for the people that are at the back of the bus, can you explain what a corneometer it is?
It's basically a measurement, piece of measurement used to measure hydration. And you can quantify how much moisture content is in the skin. So I won't go into the gory details now about the instrument, but basically you can read about the gory details on the instrument on our website. And again, we're trying to be kind of that know, well, with the internet, bound books kind of have gone by the wayside because everybody either has a Kindle or they read stuff on their iPad or their iPhone.
Right.
But really, it's about having information. And that's why we've painstakingly written chapters on our website that if people really are interested, they can go into three different levels of detail, kind of a blurb, a summary, and a detailed white paper with technical references that those who really care can actually, in fact, become educated.
That's so great. With the clean beauty space being so deeply saturated, especially I think skincare is one sector that is just, you know, deeply populated, what do you really feel separates Codex from other clean beauty brands?
First of all, it's the science. We truly have based everything on plant science and global ethnobotany, solving real problems. So our first line, again, as I said, is a basic line for cleansing, for nourishing, for hydrating skin, but in a quantified manner. Our second line will delve more deeply into reactive oxidative stress, which basically happens under any urban pollution conditions, whether it's sun exposure, sunburn, wind exposure, pollution exposure, et cetera, that most people in most cities are exposed to every day. So it's basically age prevention. And then the third line we're planning for next 2021 will be an anti-aging line based on Arctic plants. And so we always go around the world and combine marine and terrestrial plants in a specific way. Marine plants, for example, bring minerals. Terrestrial plants will bring vitamins and antioxidants. And looking at the geographies and based on the geography, what those plants have to survive, because then they develop those characteristics. Then, of course, we do experiments on things like human fibroblasts to really understand the mechanisms of how those plants are creating their method of action. And then we actually figure out how to combine those into a formulation through cosmetic chemistry. So there's many, many, many different steps. Then we take it through clinical trials, and then we basically take it into the market. So it's a very involved process. And again, patience will be required. A lot of education in the marketplace will be required. You know, in biotech, it took us 7 years to break through. And so I do believe that people are intelligent. I do believe that people want to learn. And I do believe that over time, that will overcome the noise in the industry.
No, I totally agree. The technology aspect that you're bringing to the table, I think, is, again, another aspect that makes Codex so very superior and so very different than a lot of other clean beauty brands. But I think that the other side to me that is so fascinating is your personal fascination with folk plants, folk medicine, and about, you know, kind of where this comes from. Because you and I had talked very candidly a little bit about your grandmother and these types of things. And I think it's very interesting to see how this has influenced the development of Codex.
So my grandmother was from Eastern Europe, and they were very self-sufficient people. So they grew in their garden most of the things that they needed for upset stomachs and fevers and coughs and colds. And it was just considered common knowledge. And if you look at Ireland, if you look at Switzerland, if you look at South America, if you look at the Ayurvedic or the Chinese traditions, there are many, many ancient herbal traditions. And if you look at it from a scientific perspective, they've conducted clinical trials on thousands of people over hundreds of years. And, you know, even a historian like an ethnobotany historian like Rosemary Kingston in Ireland, who's an expert on the subject, will say, well, people have retained the things that work. Yeah. You know, if they didn't work, they wouldn't be using them 400, 700, 1300 years later. And so I think there's a tremendous amount to learn from history, and yet you need to apply modern science to it. And that's really that intersection. The other thing I would say that Codex is very much about is the whole circular economy. And therefore, if you take from these tribes, if you take that knowledge of the people, you need to give that back. So for example, for the Chilean line, where we've been working with a company that is very, very close to the Mapuche Indians, we want to give back to that community. They deserve for their knowledge to have royalties for healthcare, for education, for improving the quality of their drinking water, you know, their basic human needs. And so Codex is also very much about the circular economy and making things in a sustainable way, paying a fair market price. You know, for example, in Bia, paying a fair market price for the ingredients from the organic farmers so that they can, in fact, continue biodynamic farming so that they can in fact have that quality that we expect in our products. And in many ways, both you and I are very much like the winemakers. We rely on them, and yet we need, in many cases, the industry doesn't treat them with fairness, and that's something that we need to keep in mind. Packaging is another thing. If you look at the millions of plastic tubes based on fossil fuels that are being used by the cosmetic industry every day, and a lot of indie brands, we use sugarcane made bioethanol, so green polyethylene, which is fully recyclable and which reduces the carbon footprint of a tube by 80%.
The tubes that you're making, do they require special recycling facilities?
No, they go into the standard same recycling that you would have. And because the mechanical engineering has been done so that it's an airless tube and it doesn't require metal springs, you can in fact throw the whole tube out. You don't need to disassemble it. You can just put it into the recycling. And also because it's airless, you get all of the product out, so you don't again have to worry about opening it up and washing it out.
It's really brilliant. And I think that what a lot of people don't know is that you may have a favorite clean beauty brand, but if you're really looking into, you know, your overall footprint, the concept of what the tube is being made out of needs to be a bigger concern for a lot of people, because many of the plastics are now what are considered, they're multi-layered plastics that are adhered together through various forms of heat. And the plastics, what you don't know is that when that's done, it's basically impossible to recycle the tube. It basically will just end up in landfill at that point.
That's exactly right. And so these tubes are essentially all green polyethylene made by a company called Bascom in Brazil. And they're also a very interesting company because the sugarcane fields that they grow are on land that was essentially over-farmed. And so by growing the sugarcane, they're in fact putting nutrients back into the soil so that after about 3 to 5 years, it can be used again for agriculture. The sugarcane is harvested completely. The entire plant is taken, and then they press it for the bioethanol, but then the remainder of that plant, so basically all the cellulose, is burned in a cogen plant, and that plant produces the electricity with which they produce the polyethylene. So the entire plant is pretty much zero carbon footprint.
So I don't know if anyone is listening, is your head swimming as much as I am? I feel like one of those cartoons where you see the little birds flying around. This is unbelievable, Barb. Your wealth of knowledge is so fantastic. And again, just to have someone like you, the founder behind Codex, that's really, like I said in the beginning of this, you're not two steps ahead. You really are 3,000 steps ahead. And that's really important when developing a product.
Well, we made ourselves a code. It's called the Codex Code. It's on our website. It's basically our 10 commandments. And sustainability is one of those commandments. And so every single one of those commandments we live and breathe. I mean, I know we're a C Corp and a lot of companies out there are B Corps claiming to be, you know, these wonderful, you know, socially enhancing types of corporations. You know, we picked a corporate instrument that's efficient. You know, there's nothing more efficient than a C Corp, but that's why we have a code of ethics, and it's built into essentially our corporate DNA. And therefore, even if I'm not at Codex anymore in the future, God forbid, that code will govern the behavior of the company.
Will you explain a little bit about current preservative systems that people should be aware of and concerned about, and then what you've done, which I think what you've done is so interesting.
So the traditional paraben and formaldehyde preservative systems have been, for the most part, eliminated from the industry, which is great. And that's work that preceded the existence and the formation of Codex. We came onto the scene where people are using phenoxyethanol, and the people trying to move away from phenoxyethanol are using benzyl benzoate and other types of benzyl compounds. And what is similar between those two preservatives is they're formed around a benzene ring. So what you're essentially saying is I'm going to use gasoline as a very effective bactericide. And it is a very effective bactericide. The problem is you have that benzene ring, and in chemist speak, it basically loves to steal electrons. What does that mean? It basically creates free radicals. So that's not the greatest thing for your skin, for your microbiome. It will basically kill everything. So it's very, you know, effective in killing bacteria, fungi, yeast, molds that may be in the product. So it's a very, very effective preservative. And yes, it's used in levels below 1%. But what people also don't realize is it will also kill everything on the microbiome on your skin. And so what we wanted to do was create something that would minimize the damage on the microbiome while still being an effective preservative against bacteria, fungi, yeast, and molds. And we combined four edible ingredients that actually are as effective as phenoxyethanol in terms of the kill in the first 24 to 48 hours. And that's typically a log three, so you reduce the amount of organism by 1,000 to 1. And it's a combination of lactobacillus ferment, which you find in yogurt, coconut ferment, corn ferment, an extract called propanediol out of corn ferment, and then potassium sorbate, which is commonly used in food. And so all four ingredients in this preservative system, which we've patented, are edible. So it's an edible preservative system. So you can technically eat our products. I'm not saying they're going to taste great, but you can technically eat them. And I don't think there's a lot of products out there in the skincare industry you'd really want to eat.
No. And the preservative system, so you don't have to refrigerate. And so that doesn't require any of that.
No. Has a 2-year shelf life. And with the airless packaging, basically, you're not going to get, you know, the sticky fingers with the bacteria in a jar.
Right.
And you're not going to get, you know, our facial oil uses a dropper because it's anhydrous. So really any product that has water in it, you need the preservative system for. If it's an oil, you don't. But basically with the airless tubing, you're not going to get any product that has come in contact with any kind of microbe or human skin coming back into the package. And so you can think of it as a barrier system. We have our edible preservative system, and then we have the airless packaging. And the two of them work hand in hand.
That's amazing. So we've heard about all of these incredible successes surrounding Codex and, you know, what you've been doing. But what I would love to know is, what has been one of the biggest obstacles that you faced with the development of this brand?
It was finding a name. We went through about, 50 different names. And the biggest challenge in the skincare industry is that everything is trademarked.
Right.
And so we went through a couple different branding agencies. And it took us for 9 months. We joked that we'd be called Nameless.
I mean, Codex is brilliant, though. It's such a great name. And I think that the concept behind it is so relative. And it really speaks to everything that you're doing.
It really fits our profile in the sense that it was the first bound book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, historians may say it was basically the first notebook that Julius Caesar used during his Gallic Wars, because things like the tablets and the clay tablets were not particularly effective. And then it was used in monasteries for herbology, for medical records, for astronomy, for science. So it was basically a science tool for communication for hundreds of years. And then the journals for science were codices as well.
From the founder's perspective, what is the experience that you want the Codex user to take away?
So first of all, I want people to feel safe using the product. I don't want them to think twice. I want them to know that the claims they read are fully supported. We will share, in fact, our clinical trial data with them. We didn't put it on the website because it's overwhelming and, you know, they're 50-page reports, but that they will get full transparency and we will answer any question they want to ask honestly. And the experience of basically really seeing the benefits of the products and the enjoyment of using the products, because skincare ultimately and beauty is an experiential thing for the consumer. And so we want them to really enjoy the products, but also to see tangible benefits from the product.
Barb, if we pulled out our tarot deck at the moment and I had you draw some cards and predict the future of beauty, what do you think that customers will be looking for in the future with regards to beauty?
So what I'm hoping for that customers will be looking for in the future of beauty is information. And that we will actually have analytical tools by which people can analyze the needs for their skin that are quantitative. That we will have products whose efficacy has been quantified again, and the AI tools by which to match the two together. So that if you, for example, have acne-prone, very dry skin, you'll be able to find the right combination of products and the right regimen. If you have very oily skin with, you know, wrinkles you want to get rid of in a specific part, say around your eyes, you'll be able to find those products, and that things will be tailorable for the individual based on the individual needs, because ultimately we are all different.
So really it has a lot to do with the access to information.
Exactly. And informed decisions and education. So again, I think right now there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a complete lack of understanding of what claims mean on boxes, of what products really do, what's really in those products. Not all brands are fully transparent with their inky lists, for example, which to me is a very scary thing. And I'm hoping actually more regulation. I mean, I really, you know, having grown up in the pharmaceutical industry, making equipment for the pharmaceutical industry, you know, to me, the FDA is a friend. It's not an enemy. And it's just unbelievable to me that, for example, in Europe, 1,300 substances are banned. In the U.S., it's 11. And the FDA has no power whatsoever to intervene if a company is creating products that are harmful to people. And the legislation basically has not been updated for the cosmetics industry since 1938.
Yeah, it's a horrifying thought. It really is.
So the U.S. is very, very far behind the rest of the world, and we need to catch up.
Yeah. Well, a brand like yours, and with someone like you behind it, I believe that that's very possible. So in all of your spare time, you have another little venture that I wanted to have you talk about for a second, which is something called Sekhmet. And Sekhmet Ventures is really fascinating. And I think that listeners would love to hear about, you know, what it is and what you're doing with it.
So Sekhmet was the Egyptian goddess who was the defender of truth and justice. She was in fact sent by the god Ra to create a plague on mankind when mankind got out of hand. She went a little crazy, killed too many people, so they had to get her drunk with beer laced with pomegranate juice. But when she basically woke up, she turned into the goddess Hathor, who was the feminine power of creativity, femininity, and fertility. So it's a very interesting, transformative story. She was actually the most feared goddess in Egypt, so that she was in fact worshipped 365 days a year. And her temples, because they were so terrified of having another plague like that and being wiped out. So she was also a dread goddess, but she was also the protectress of the pharaoh. And so she accompanied the pharaohs in battle, and in fact, she ushered them through the portal of death and saw them through to the underworld. So again, very, very fascinating goddess. And what we wanted to do was enter the beauty industry and fund companies that would transform it through science, through knowledge, and through incredible honesty and craftsmanship. And so that's basically the mission of the venture fund. We're a very small venture fund. So as you said, it's kind of my side gig, but we're very passionate about the companies. We're very selective about the companies we support. And then we're very passionate about seeing those companies succeed.
So will you tell us about some of the companies that you currently have underneath the Sekhmet umbrella?
So Codex is one. And we have another one called Needed. They make omega-3 supplements from pre-pregnancy through postpartum. We have Elsie Beauty, which is a microbiome-based skincare company. Founded by a young French lady who is a very, very good scientist as well. We have Origin, which is a genetic analysis company that empowers users to change their lifestyle. So they analyze everything from metabolism to skin characteristics to athletic prowess so that athletes can train better. In fact, they're partnered with the 49ers. They're a really cool company. And then, of course, we have Heretic. How could I forget Heretic? Save the best for last, right?
And we're very proud to be part of this umbrella and part of this group of other companies who are all sharing from a very like-minded perspective.
Oh, and I forgot Stamba. Stamba is also very important. They're angiogenic foods and supplements, and they're now really moving forward the science on those. And so I would say, you know, you think of it as wellness, clean wellness, but through a scientific lens.
And, you know, the concept that you were speaking to regarding Sekhmet and about the concept of feminine power, it's something that runs as a thread through a lot of your work, is about your speaking and about, if any listeners, if you have a moment and you do a Google on Barbara Paldies, you'll see some incredible lectures that she's done. But one of the ones that really stood out to me was your lecture about being a female scientist and about empowering females. Can you speak about your passion to that?
So a lot of the companies that Sekhmet funds are in fact started by women and run by women. Codex itself is majority women, which for me, you know, from becoming from the tech industry, it was always majority male. So it's incredibly refreshing to be working with an incredible team of women. Heretic, of course, is an exception, and so is Stamba. But I would say that, you know, women have complained a lot about not being able to get funding or seed funding. And so the only way women are going to empower themselves is for those of us who have, you know, who've been fortunate enough to have the means, is to empower the next generation and to really put our money where our mouth is. And that's just how it goes, and to build our own community. You know, if men could do it, so can we.
Absolutely. I mean, we could do another entire podcast on this next question, but can you tell me, why do you think that a lot of young startups that are female based do not receive the funding?
I would say some of it is also because of the fields that they're in. And so beauty has traditionally not been a VC stomping ground, although now that Drunk Elephant was acquired for over $800 million by Shiseido, I mean, that's probably going to change. But it's also because men don't understand those markets.
Right.
You know, everything from baby food to beauty to perfume, it's just not something that, unless you're in Europe, where those industries have been very prevalent, very important, and very large companies have been built, that the U.S. has really ever looked into. I mean, the U.S. venture industry has been tech, B2B, internet, social media, just not looking at that part of the sector, although it's a very important sector. And unfortunately, those are the companies that most women start in, and the mechanisms have not been established, and the large exits, which then lead to the VC funds that fund more in that space, have not really happened.
It's incredible. Honestly, this conversation is my head is exploding. It's wonderful. I'm going to take it outside of the kind of nitty-gritty questions that we've been getting into and talk about something that's a little bit more esoteric, although I think I know the answer to this. But Barbara, how do you consider yourself a heretic?
So if I'm a heretic, that means you go against the grain, you go against tradition, you go against the establishment. And I believe firmly, again, that knowledge can be sexy. Science can be sexy. Everyone thinks of us as geeks wearing the glasses, you know, and the ill-fitting running shoes and the ill-fitting t-shirt and the ill-fitting jeans. But I believe that there's a transformation underway and that science can, in fact, find its rightful place again. Not just misinformation and a lack of information and a lack of education. I think science and education can be fun. And in that sense, I want to go against the current grain of society and reinvigorate it. Because I think we have to. We have to understand our world. We have to understand our own medical needs. We have to understand all of that. And one of the things I find very disturbing is you don't see a lot of TV shows about scientists. You see them about policemen. You see them about firemen. You see them, in fact, you know, like Baywatch, you know, about lifeguards, right? And then you see things like Game of Thrones. You see a lot of fantasy. You see a lot of fiction. You don't see a lot of science, and people think science is boring, and scientists are boring, and we're anything but that.
That's true. That's true. We just have to maybe work on your outfit. So maybe that's the key. It's like we'll do like a thong.
I'd rather be dead, Douglas. I'll leave that to the Kardashians. They do it really well.
I don't know. A thong and a microscope sounds like a good combination. So this is a question I always love to ask everyone that comes on this podcast is, Barbara, what would you say is your most profound or erotic fragrance memory?
I would say that for me, it's Chanel. And I associate that not necessarily with eroticism, but I associate that with my grandmother. It was a perfume that she used from before the war, you know, from when it was first created. And to me, just the complexity and the craftsmanship of that has, until I actually started trying Heretic perfumes, I had never found anything that would equal it in its vibrancy, in its depth of tone and note, in the evolution of the perfume on your skin, and in the consistency of just the brilliance of the notes in the perfume. And I'm a huge fan of Dirty Rose and Florgasm and Pistol Whip and basically all your florals. Just an incredible fan.
Thank you so much. Barbara, this was an extraordinary podcast that's filled with so much information. I think that people are going to have to listen to it about 10 times just to be able to get little tiny bits out of it. This was rich, dense. It was like eating a delicious chocolate cake with you.
Ganache.
Exactly. So Barbara, if listeners wanted to find more out about Codex, where can they find that information?
They can go to our website, Codex Beauty, so Codex Beauty.com. And they can go to our chapters where they can read to their heart's content. We constantly are updating that information. And then hopefully in May, we'll be launching our Patagonian
amazing
product line. And you heard it here first.
Incredible. And as far as Sekhmet goes, where can people find information about Sekhmet?
That is Sekhmet, Sekhmet Ventures.com.
Wonderful. Well, again, Barbara, thank you very much for joining us. And you can always find Heretic at hereticparfum.com and this podcast available on Spotify and iTunes. Thank you.